Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. We thank you so much for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We also welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and today our guest is Nate Whitaker. Welcome, Nate.
Good to be here.
Yeah, super excited to have you. And so far on the last several podcasts, we've been walking through each of the habits of healthy churches, taking one podcast episode for each of the habits. And you get to finish us off today with habit 7, healthy churches are not territorial. So excited to talk a little more about that.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited.
So tell us, obviously I know you fairly well as you're a part of our team, but tell us a little bit about yourself and your ministry work, these days.
Yeah, so my name is Nathan Whitaker. I go by Nate, but professionally Nathan Whitaker, and I am in Seattle, Washington, leading a primarily Black congregation in the middle of the city in the historically Black neighborhood called the Central District. And they've been here since the early teens of 19, but as a primarily Black congregation, they've been here since the 50s, and I've been working with them for the last few years, specifically around supporting and encouraging their work, getting a housing project of 150 units for people who are unhoused, and transitioning them into a more stable environment so that they can build some wealth and equity in order to start to look for apartments and move on. And it's been really great work, really challenging work, but really good to just get to know a different way of doing church as I was in the Midwest before, as you know.
Yeah, totally different context. And if I remember correctly, this was property next to the church that the church had. And did they have a building on it that they raised, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, they had an old parsonage, but it was, we actually had to take more care for some of the trees there than the parsonage because the trees were protected and the parsonage was dilapidated. So it wasn't being used other than the parking lot.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, today, like I said, we're talking about habit 7, healthy churches are not territorial. So in your time in ministry, and obviously you've been in very different contexts, where, and obviously you kind of grew up in the church, where have you seen territorialism kind of cause toxicity for churches?
Yeah, so I've seen it in two different ways. One in Indiana was wildly different than the one here. Let me start here because in Seattle, we're a very neighborhood-driven city. And so there's not territorialism, but there is certainly this neighborhood vibe of each congregation kind of has its own sort of community based off of the neighborhood they're in. And we're, a 2-3 mile span north and south and even shorter east to west makes up the whole of the main middle part of Seattle. And that's where I am. And so in that place, there could be a church literally half a mile down the road, but that means a whole lot different than it does in the Midwest, right? That means I'm going through at least two neighborhoods, mine and the one that other church is in. And so territorialism looks a little different there because there is a recognition that living and breathing within a particular neighborhood does bring some experience that, is not really something I can speak to if I'm in another neighborhood. However, where I have seen this toxicity into territorialism is really around camaraderie and collaboration. When we start to think about how can we serve the wider Seattle area, we start to get into real weird places in terms of territory. And it's like, we have a shared problem of homelessness here. We have a shared problem of growing prices on everything, and things are getting more expensive for people. And we have a shared problem of just trying to reach a demographic or a community, a wider community, that's much different than a Christian assumed generation or community. And that means that we need to do things a bit differently. And yet, if your congregation here is more focused on, let's say, a little bit of more of a traditional approach, or really just a successful ministry, then there's not a desire to really collaborate and work together. And I bring that one up because I think primarily when it comes to situations and contexts that aren't Seattle or big cities like Seattle, that kind of thing is toxic within all territorial conflicts, right? You've got people who aren't seeing that we're in the same kingdom, and that's creating this desire to really lay down stakes and make our claim, as opposed to working together, because the ultimate fear is, well, what if they go to their church and not my church, right? What if they go and give their money to them instead of to me? And that's just a wildly different way to see the kingdom of God. Nowhere does it say anything like that. So you see that kind of hesitancy to work together. And I could go on, but I think it really brings out negative things in relationships with one another, and ultimately leads to some loneliness from pastors. They find themselves in a place where, you know, if the rug gets pulled out underneath them, there's nobody there to really help them. Or if they're having a crisis, that they're not really able to go and help others or be helped by others. And it causes a lot of problems when that toxicity leads into a lack of community and collaboration.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about like context. So say a little more about how it's different in the Midwest, and then I want to talk a little bit about context, because that's an international problem.
Yeah, so the Midwest is Fort Wayne, where I had my previous call, was called the City of Churches because they had more churches. They had like 35 churches within my church body, which is wild because that is an obscene amount of churches for that small amount of space. And so that means there's a lot more cultural Christianity. And in other words, we kind of start with the assumption that we're all doing something in a church. That's a big difference. Another big difference, of course, is the mileage that I said. So, you know, even though you have 33 churches in Fort Wayne, they're all kind of spread out compared to Seattle. Because you've got a church that might be down the road, but down the road means, you know, a couple miles, 5 miles, whatever. You have to get in your car to get to the other place. Whereas here, you can walk if you wanted to.
That's wild. Yeah, and I think when I think about context too, like going internationally, especially like if I'm in Africa or Asia, you know, in Africa, when we talk about this habit, we actually talk about competing for people, right? Not just members or dollars, because that's not really priorities in those areas of poverty, but like, you know, fighting to sit, you know, get people to come to faith and get people to be in and attend your church. And so the territorialism is fighting other churches, where in the U.S., the territorialism is usually over buildings or tables or chairs or, you know, there's certainly competition with other churches. But I think, you know, in these areas of poverty like Africa, you know, they don't have this stuff to fight over. And so the territorialism comes around people. So it's interesting that, you know, obviously territorialism is an issue and could be an issue in any church, but depending on the context, from Africa to the West Coast to the Midwest, it could be over different things, from, you know, people to dollars to property to conversions to whatever it might be.
Yeah, and I think it draws out this thing that you talk about often, which is that us versus them mentality, right? And territorialism is rooted in that. And of course, it's going to be a human thing no matter where you are. But it is interesting to consider that maybe one's more in line with the kingdom, the African or international, where you're fighting for the spread of the gospel and the love of Jesus as opposed to money. I don't know. I think that's a little better, even though it's got some problems, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, none of them are great, right? But for sure, I think that's the case. And maybe that's part of this, you know, idea of Jesus saying it's harder for the rich to enter the kingdom. You know, I think it's one of the layers of that potentially. In your kind of opinion, because I know you're passionate about, you know, church health and churches being about the gospel, being more like Jesus, what things do you think churches can do to kind of get rid of some of this territorialism in their congregations?
I mean, I really do think the beginning comes from that we're all part of the same kingdom. And we've been taught, we've grown up in a world within American Christianity, especially. I don't know about internationally, but within American Christianity, that you've got to brand yourself according to a certain denomination, a certain doctrine, and even within congregations, right? A certain ministry or a certain way of doing things. And what we've done is we've turned that into a commodity or into a method as opposed to a characteristic of a particular community. Because we all have our different growths and different challenges, but also our different strengths and different things that make our ministries the way that they are. But we ought not let those define us over the kingdom of God. We are all part of one kingdom. And while we may have disagreements, we are in agreement that Jesus deserves all honor and praise, and that the gospel is for everybody, that we're all loved by God. And if we can start there and really let that infuse within all of what we preach and teach, but also all what we do and say in our communities, then that becomes a refocusing principle, if you will.
Yeah, and I mean, I think some of it's the spirit, right? Are we living in a spirit of humility and service, or are we living in a spirit of fear and competition? Because I think at the root of a lot of territorialism is this kind of, you know, this fear or scarcity mindset when it's about stuff, you know, or this this idea of competition, you know, that really our only competition is, you know, against the enemy. But, you know, we think, you know, oftentimes even churches that look differently than us, believe differently than us, worship differently than us, you know, are kind of the enemy. I mean, that's one of the things I see in Africa. It's like, you know, not only are they kind of competing for souls and people in their worship services, but a lot of that turns into, you know, kind of tearing down the theology of a different tradition, or, you know, tearing down the techniques, you know, as inauthentic or unbiblical. And I think what happens is, you know, being competitive is one thing, you know, but I think culturally around the world, sometimes that competitiveness turns into kind of a spirit of anger and hatred and criticism, for sure. And I think this is certainly in the United States, I think this has been influenced, you know, by kind of consumerism, you know, in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah, I also like, so there's the fear of what you will lose and what you'll miss out on. But I also wonder, two thoughts came into mind. First, if we're going to outdo and compete with one another, we should do so in the way that Paul does, right? We compete in showing honor and love to one another. That's a good competition to have. And one another doesn't mean just in our congregation. It means in the kingdom, right? And so if one church is doing X, Y, Z, maybe we go and do X, Y, Z with them, but we try to, you know, show them more love and humility in the interactions that we have with them. But the other thing that I've been really thinking about based off of my experience here with, as I said, a primarily Black congregation is this idea of contentment. And it comes from the scarcity and generosity mindset, the difference between right. the two. But Black Americans have had, within the church, they've had to, create their own communities, their own congregations. They've been kicked out of congregations. That's the story of the one here in Seattle. They were the church moved to another congregation, and when the Black members went with them, they were told that they weren't allowed to be there anymore. So they've had to, work through some significant challenges, and as a result, it has created this life of contentment within the congregation. It's wild because I came from a church that was so interested and so necessarily driven by, we have to grow, we have to make more money to afford our building and blah, blah, blah. And here we have a congregation that's much smaller. Much smaller, and they're just happy to be gathering together. And that creates within them a desire to work with other ministries. In fact, this congregation is the most connected congregation that I have ever met, both in terms of government and quote unquote secular entities, but also within ministries across the board, depending on denomination and so forth. It doesn't matter. And so I think there's this idea of contentment and being content with where you are and what God is calling us to do in the place that we are, that might be another answer to that question of warding off territorialism. Because if we're content with what we have and what we are called to do, then that competition can be redirected towards, outdoing one another in love or into other more prosperous ventures.
Right. And I love that word contentment, because I think we do it in American culture, American church culture, more and more and more and more, more people, more buildings, more programs. And I think of abundance, and I think we have a kind of a backwards understanding of abundance. We think of abundance as more, but more stuff, more things, but I think of abundance in terms of abundance of opportunity. It's that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Like, there are more people in this world in need of Jesus than, we could ever, fill or find. So why do we need to take stuff from other people? There's more money, in God's wallet than we would ever need for the resources that we need. And, so why we fight over tables or whatever else that might be. There's an abundance of need in the world. So many opportunities to serve. And so why can't we just be who we are and do those things we're called to do, and recognize that that means that we are for some people and we're not for others. And I think that power of fear and consumerism really drives that. And I think some of this is well-intentioned. I think we care. We love our churches. We care about that thing we donated or gave money to have. And yes, we should be good stewards and not beat up our buildings and stuff and mm-hmm. not waste resources. But I think sometimes we take that so far that it becomes about those things instead of the fact that those things are tools for the thing that we're actually supposed to be about, spreading the gospel, building the kingdom.
Well, not only are we well-intentioned, but we also don't know what we don't know, right? And part of what we don't know is that it takes a lifetime for many of us in our own lives, but as ministries, we need to work at understanding that These, like what the Catholic Church called the cardinal sins, like greed and gluttony and so forth, those are all about more, right? And what happens as you do more of those things is it gives you the opposite of what you think. So, like if you want more money, that's greed, right? And the more money that you get, the less secure in your wealth you become. It's just statistically, that's what happens. And so, if that's the case for money, that can't be, something that is not true for other things. So the more food that you get,
Or
the
stuff.
more you, or stuff in general, you the more you want, right? And maybe it's about being content with what you have and then being excited when more does come, or, to realize that when more comes, maybe that's an opportunity to give to others. And I think that there's some joy in that.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I exactly. This is, I appreciate you coming on. It's been a great conversation. This is the seventh habit, so we think it's the least significant, but it's still significant. And we know that healthy churches are not territorial, and that every church is territorial about something. And so how do we look at ourselves, which is the hardest part, right? Looking in the mirror, to kind of figure out those areas where we're being territorial.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I hope you're
Awesome.
not
Thanks,
saying I'm
Nate.
the least significant.
No, the habit, just the habit. Yeah, awesome, Nate. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for listening. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. Again, we encourage you to keep the conversation going and welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org.